From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Edward McKinley reports in the Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo took questions from the media March 3rd for the first time after three sexual harassment allegations against him were made public. Cuomo said in a March 3rd press conference, and I quote, "I feel terrible that these people felt uncomfortable by the interactions," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "I'm embarrassed by it. I didn't know I was making her uncomfortable at the time. I feel badly that I did, and I'm going to learn from it. My usual custom is to kiss and hug and make that gesture. I understand that sensitivities have changed," end quote. The first statement came as many Democrats, such as Hudson Valley-based State Senator James Scopus, called for Cuomo's resignation after the three sexual harassment allegations and the controversy over manipulating data on COVID-19 patients in nursing homes. Cuomo said his lawyers told him not to publicly address the allegations while the state attorney general is reviewing the matter, but spoke nonetheless. He said, and I quote, "First, I fully support a woman's right to come forward. I think it should be encouraged in every way. I now understand that I acted in a way that made people feel uncomfortable. It was unintentional, and I truly and deeply apologize for it," end quote. He also said, and I quote, "I feel awful about it, and frankly, I am embarrassed by it, and that's not easy to say," end quote. One woman claims Cuomo kissed her without her consent. A second, who was 25 years old, said Cuomo asked her if she'd sleep with an older man and allegedly told her he'd sleep with a woman in her 20s. And a third said he grabbed her face at a wedding 2 years ago and asked to kiss her. Cuomo said, and I quote, "Make a decision when you know the facts," end quote. He added, and I quote, "I also want you to know that I have learned from what has been an incredibly difficult situation for me as well as other people, and I have learned an important lesson. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whatever pain I caused anyone. I never intended it. I also understand it doesn't matter," end quote. He continued, and I quote, "It doesn't matter my intent. It matters if anybody was offended by it. I could contend no offense, but if they were offended by it, I was wrong. And if they were offended by it, then I apologize," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Aaliyah Snyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson has signed a local law giving the mayor the authority to make available additional paid sick leave during public health crises or emergencies. The local law will amend Article 31 of the city charter. The measure was approved by the Hudson Common Council February 16th. And following an uneventful public hearing March 2nd, Johnson signed it into law. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced March 17, 2020, that all public employees must give at least 14 days of paid sick leave and guarantee job protection for the duration of the quarantine order. The Civil Service Employees Association contract with the city allows 18 days of sick leave per year for any employee hired before May 1, 1999, and 12 days per year for full-time employees hired after that date. The CSEA contract expires at the end of 2021. The Law Enforcement Officers Union contract, which expires in 2023, allows 18 days per year for full-time employees of the police department. Johnson said, and I quote, "There really wasn't a unified policy in place, and this helps us clean that up for now for any future pandemics," end quote. The idea for the legislation came out of the city's daily COVID-19 meeting, when Johnson meets with department heads and the city's legal team. Department heads were raising concern about employees taking time off during mandatory quarantine. Johnson said there has not been an issue with employees not getting the time off they need, but the law is meant to be proactive. Common Council President Thomas DiPietro said, and I quote, "Any law that supports city workers during these difficult times deserves our full support," end quote. Editors note, Johnson and DiPietro are WGXC volunteer on-air programmers, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Columbia County Police Reform Panel will hold a public hearing Monday, March 8th to consider the county's proposed Police Reform Act. Among the recommendations contained in the plan, the purchase and use of body cameras by all deputies at the county sheriff's office, the implementation of a process to ensure transparency of community complaints about law enforcement, increased efforts to address issues of racial and gender diversity in recruitment and hiring, and more. A copy of the plan can be found on the county's Police Reform Panel website. Those who would like to speak at the hearing must contact the clerk of the board's office before the close of business or 4 p.m. on Friday, March 5th, either by email to kelly.baracco@columbiacountyny.com or by calling 518-828-1527. The public hearing will be held virtually beginning at 6 p.m. Monday, March 8th. Noah Zweifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise. RIC Energy, the developer of a proposed 4.4 megawatt solar facility on Thompson's Lake Road in Knox, has rejected the concerns of the Albany County Planning Board, according to a letter sent by the company to the Knox Planning Board. The planning board will meet March 11th and discuss whether to move forward with the proposal in spite of the county's disapproval. In its decision, the county planning board cited 8 reasons, including residents' objections, various local and intermunicipality impacts, unfulfilled bureaucratic requirements, and the proposed facility's visibility from and proximity to Thatcher Park and parcels within an agricultural district. In the letter to the planning board, RIC Energy's chief executive officer, Jonathan Rapp, described the county planning board's conclusion as, and I quote, erroneous, end quote, and out of line with local considerations. Rapp provided supporting documents for most of his assertions. The Enterprise previously reported the Albany County Planning Board rejected the plan for the solar facility in part because of a new regulation that requires the board to consider the Helderberg Viewshed when reviewing the projects. Albany County legislator William Reinhardt, who helped develop the new regulation, said the situation described may be outside the regulation's scope. Although the County Planning Board disapproved the project, the Knox Planning Board can vote to move ahead anyway, but would need support from 5 members, a supermajority of the 7-member board, to move forward. And you can read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.